Oh, it's that time of the year again where the government comes out and shares their budget. The budget which reveals everything about everything they're going to spend their money on, and obviously it's to benefit us and help the economy. Well, in this video, we're going to figure out who the winners and the losers are from this budget and how it may affect you. If you're interested in what my thoughts are, then definitely keep watching. Hey guys, my name's Ravi and welcome back to Personal Finance with Ravi Sharma. If you're new here, smash that subscribe button because I talk about real estate, cryptocurrency, and financial freedom. Occasionally, we talk about the budget. The government that comes out and says budget or budget for wherever you're in Australia, maybe overseas. But right now, we've been handed down the 2024-2025 budget and it's supposed to have been a game changer. As we know, in the current economy, everyone talks about inflation. Now, I'm just going to leave this thought in the back of your mind as we go through this video. But to me, it seems like you want to stop inflation by creating more inflation. That's sort of the big takeaway from this. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. But I just feel like maybe the solution to the problem is only going to cause a bigger problem later. That's my thoughts. Let's kick into it. In this budget that we've been delivered, yes, we have been delivered tax cuts, which is huge. And it's something that we're going to definitely address and how that flows on to property and property prices. But along with that, we've got energy rebates, cost of living, pressure, payments. I don't know how you can word it that way because the cost of living crisis was caused by all this money and the money is now paying for, it's confusing, but let's break it down so it makes a lot more sense. Now let's see who the winners are. Bill payers. All households will receive a $300 energy rebate in the budget's biggest surprise sweetener. The $3.5 billion scheme also includes a $325 rebate for about 1 million eligible small businesses. Now, do I have a problem with this? Yes. And the reason I have a problem with this is because wouldn't it make more sense to go and create a longer lasting solution rather than going and investing all this money for everyone to just have this rebate up front? Because to me, it just seems like the energy companies are gonna go, oh, cool, they got 300 bucks. It doesn't matter if now we increase our prices for whatever reason we like. So instead, $3.5 billion, if it was spent on infrastructure and long-term sustainability, I feel like that would address the cost of living crisis a lot further than simply a $300 payment. Because honestly, like in 6 months, you're not even gonna remember this. But in 6 months, if you actually had a plan, that 3.5 could be used in a better way. But I'm not a politician, I'm a YouTuber, so what the hell do you care? Let's continue. Low income renters. The government will invest $1.9 billion to boost the maximum rates of Commonwealth rent assistance by 10%. The measure will come into effect from September 20th. Maximum rates are now 40% higher than they were in May 2022. 40% higher, and that's largely driven by the fact that we don't have enough supply and we have so many migrants coming into the country. So obviously, rental pressures. Now, if we're seeing 10% increases to what would effectively be the Commonwealth rent rate or rental assistance, as they call it, the question I have is how much of this actually flows on to just higher rents? I don't know, something to think about, because if everyone gets that as the base payment, then naturally you could also see a 10% increase in the rents as well. Yes, short term looks great on paper. This stuff is looking brilliant. However, the longer term effects, as I've said in the start of this video, the solution to the problem becomes the problem itself. Now, the next one is probably one that you have definitely been waiting for. And I actually agree with this. And I think it was a great plan when they came up with it, but it's the tax cuts. The government has followed through with its promise to provide a tax cut to every taxpayer averaging to $36 a week or $1,888 when they lodge their tax returns. However, while they will still get a tax cut, high income earners making more than $140,000 would have been better under the Morrison government's original plan. Now, simply put, tax cuts means more disposable income. Some people will use that because they really need it for needs. Some people will use it for wants because now they have extra money, they can go buy a TV or they can go and buy clothes. And then some will use the extra funds to go and invest. And that is probably the right way to do it. How many people are actually going to do it? I'm not sure. But the idea is that this would then stimulate the economy. Now, if the economy is shrinking, which to be honest, in most industries in Australia, yes, they are shrinking. That's why per capita, we're actually in a recession. Retail figures are absolutely crap, but because inflation has such a large attention on it right now, it means that nobody really focuses on what's happening underneath, what's happening to the economy. And yes, there's stuff that's going really well and stuff that's not going so well. So money like this could find its way back into retail, retail improves, the economy looks a little healthier. But if this money is used to just simply save or pay down some of your your loans, it actually could mean that the economy shrinks even further. But the opposite could occur. If you're trying to stimulate the economy, we might have that sort of spiral out a little bit, because this would be the equivalent of stimulus. Now, if you go back to the GFC, 2008, 2009, Kevin Rudd came out and said, hey, everyone gets some money. It's free stimmy money, all right? And so they went out and they gave all this money. People would spend it. The stores would make a profit. The profits meant that people could hire more people and you'd restart the economy. That's effectively what's happening here, except we have inflation as a problem. So when you have inflation, you really want things to slow down and contract. That's why it's so difficult to be a treasurer or an economist right now, because nobody knows actually how things could break. Obviously, something is going to break. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And based on that is how we go and say, oh, well, if the economy crashes, that means property prices have to go down. It doesn't really have to work like that. Let's go and see who else were winners in this budget. Australians who need prescription medication. The cost of prescription medications listed in the pharmaceutical benefits scheme will be capped at $31.60 for the next year, with costs for prescriptions for pensioners and concession card holders frozen at $7.70 for the next 5 years. Awesome, I like that. Aged care workers, the government has committed to boosting wages for indirect and direct aged care workers, with the exact amount to be determined once the Fair Work Commission hands down its determination. Again, I'm in agreement with that. Let's continue. Childcare workers have also been promised a wage increase, however, no specific figures were given. Go figure. You get it? Because it's no figure was given. I see. But again, at a very base level, the income goes higher for people. They can either go and spend that money, they can either go and invest that money. These effects trickle through the economy and into asset prices as well. Women are also a big winner of the budget. There's a number of measures particularly aimed at women in this year's budget. One of the biggest costs to the budget will be paying superannuation on paid parental leave, which will amount to $1.1 billion over the 4 year forward estimate periods, with annual costs then amounting to $623 million from July 2028. The government is also investing into women's shelters and will help women fleeing domestic violence by extending the Leaving Violence program, which provides eligible women with up to $5,000 in financial support. I love it. Awesome. Small businesses also win. The $20,000 instant asset write-off, which is once slated to end on June 30th this year, will be extended for another 12 months. 1 million small businesses will also benefit from the $325 energy rebate, providing they meet the eligibility criteria. Now, I've realized this video is going on for way too long. So there's a couple of things you're gonna do. One, you smash the like button and you can press 2x the speed so you can get through the rest of this video by absorbing all the value, but in a short amount of time. And a large portion of you watch these videos and you continue to watch them. YouTube also pushes you to watch them, but you just don't subscribe. So create an account on YouTube, smash that red button saying subscribe, and that way it helps support the channel as it keeps going out to more people that really need to get impacted with information like this so they can take financial freedom seriously as well. Now we're gonna cover off the really high level losers and how it may affect you, because it is very important when we talk about housing, because some of the stuff they've said in this budget really blows my mind. Now, some of the losers, welfare recipients. Despite loud calls for the government to increase welfare payments, people on JobSeeker and Youth Allowance won't get any increases on their rates, currently $55 and $45 a day respectively. You've got first home buyers who are also losers apparently. No additional measures have been announced for first home buyers, with the budget reiterating Australia's need for more housing stock. A total of $6.2 billion has been funneled to building more homes over a raft of schemes, with federal, state, and territory governments committed to building 1.2 million homes by 2029-2030 under the National Housing Accords. I'm pretty sure that's not gonna happen, but okay. You have migrants, also losers in this. The government is determined to halve the net migration intake from 528,000 last year to 260,000 next year, which it will need to do to take pressure off the housing market. Okay, so rant time, guys. 10 seconds, I'm gonna keep it flat. Why would you introduce so many migrants in the first place to create the problem and then not have enough houses, and now you're saying, well, we'll halve them at 50%? When you look at the long-term averages, 260,000 is still a lot. And when you think about the fact that we have a dire situation right now, 260,000 on top of what we already have is still gonna put more pressure on the housing market. When on the flip side, you're saying, yes, we're promising 1.2 million. If you're actually gonna do 1.2 million, you're probably gonna go, well, yeah, let the migrants come in because we've got enough housing. You probably don't have enough confidence in building the 1.2, which is why you're like, maybe we should address migrants. There might be a bit of an agenda going on here, but here are my concluding thoughts. I make a lot of jokes on this channel and nobody should take me seriously at this point. What I am worried about is how much of this is actually a long-term solution rather than a short-term solution. Yes, you can go out and say, well, yeah, next year we'll just have less migrants come in, but we have a problem now. And yes, we can go and build 1.2 million homes by 2029 and 2030, but the numbers that you're actually getting right now are so low. And when you go and couple that with how many construction companies are falling into insolvencies and how still with interest rates so high, it is so difficult to go out there and construct new homes, you find yourself in a bit of a pickle. You can go and promise the world, but unfortunately, it seems like a bit of a nothing burger. That's my personal opinion. Yes, there's gonna be smaller winners and it might directly influence you and you go, well, hey, actually, this budget's great for me. Or you might be one of those few that go, this actually screwed me over, this budget. I wanna hear from you guys. Comment down below what you think this budget means for you, how you're gonna get affected. And if you haven't subscribed yet, I don't know why, but subscribe and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks, guys.